Blog Talk Radio.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus.
International Institution, which is found at 1401 Grenfell Street in the Center for the Prevention of Health Disparity on the campus of Edward Waters College, located here in the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. I'm Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, the professor for the hour. And we want you to call a neighbor, call a friend. Let them know that Jehovah Jireh is broadcasting live in the four mission and evangelism classes. You can sit home, you can relax, and you can hear a profound teaching on mission and evangelism. Well, on the previous weeks, we have been able to cover overcoming our fears and soul winning. We have touched on how to lead into your testimony. And we want to do tonight, what we want to discuss is suggestions for preparation for your testimony and sharing Jesus effectively. We're going to start in the first phrase when we get ready to go into this area of sharing Jesus effectively. We're going to talk about be willing to go. But right now, we want to talk about the suggestion for preparation for your testimony. And by the way, we would like to welcome our students. We thank God for those that are online that are listening to this broadcast and that will participate in this broadcast. Again, we do thank you. Tell your neighbor, tell your friend how they, too, can make preparation for mission and evangelism, which is an important part of our life. It's an important part of being a ambassador, a soul winner, one that are able to reach souls for the kingdom. We always want to be able to effectively share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this day, we're going to be talking about suggestions for preparation for your testimony. We're going to first talk about pray, and we're going to just be outlining. You can take notes. I hope you have your paper, your pen. So there's something that you would like to jot down that's going to be relevant or important to you. And I believe that everything that we say here in this classroom will be prevalent to you as one that God has ordained to be a soul winner. And do you not know that there are soul winners all over the place? There are soul winners all over the world that have been called to the kingdom, called for such a time as this. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited about the call. I'm excited about what God has done in my life. And you have every right as a believer to be excited about what God has done for you, and most of all, of your salvation. You've been saved, and that God has sanctified you, and that he has given you a writ to go forth, permission to go forth and win souls for the kingdom of God. So mission and evangelism is a very important part of being a believer. Now, we want to talk about today about suggestions. These are only suggestions for preparation for your testimony. You know, even as we're in a classroom setting on tonight, we are studying, we are being perfected on how we can go forth and how we can prepare ourselves to go out into the world, to be fishers of men, to be men and women on the move for God. So tonight, we want to just to give you and encourage you how you can be more effective in your mission in reaching souls for the kingdom. So one of the things we want to for you to jot down is we need to pray and ask God to give us the right words to say. You know, you ought to be always, when you get up in the morning, before you go to bed, you ought to ask God, God, give me the right words to say to those that I'm going to meet today. God, those that you have ordained for me to meet, God, give me the words to say so that they can be saved, so that they can spend eternity with you. Now, you need to write it on a paper. You need, especially if you just start doing this, or you need to perfect yourself even more, you need to write it on a paper, because God, he does honor preparation. Somebody always say preparation.
Yes.
So therefore, God honor preparation. Keep in mind that it should be short and it should be to the point. People are listening to you, but they want you to get to the point as to what you are saying.
Yes.
And if you pray and you ask God to help you, and if you make preparation, then you are prepared to go and to win that soul or to sow a seed into that person's life. Don't lose sight on your goal. That's another thing. Do not lose sight on your goal. In other words, be succulent. In other words, have few words. Don't be so wordy. Do it with few words. Be concise as to what you're doing. Avoid excessiveness and unnecessary details. Did you get that? Try to keep your testimony 3 minutes. Try. Sometimes we maybe get into a testimony, and I know sometimes you have things that you want to share with people, but we're asking, and that's a good thing, to try to keep your testimony. Because if you think about it, 3 minutes is a kind of long time, but you'd be talking about yourself.
Yeah.
So therefore, I keep it below 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Always refer to the experience most people have in common. If you have something that you're telling them, try to tell them something that maybe that you have in common, that something may be in common to them. Try to share that type of testimony. You can share a slice of your life story. Your life is not perfect. So you don't try to make it like you've been getting tutu all of your life. Don't try to make it like you're an angel and you never have done anything in this life before you came to Christ. Because the Word of God says that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So share. Let them know that you are human. Let them know that you have also sinned, and you may have not did the same sins that they have committed, but yes, I did sin. Yes, I was in transgression. Yes, I came against the Word of God. And then, but let them know the newness of Christ in you when you gave Christ your life. That now I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. Those things I used to do, I don't have a desire to do them anymore because Christ came into my life. Christ saved me. Christ made the difference in my life. Don't amplify that all of your problems ended at conversion. Don't try to make people think that because I'm saved now, I don't have any more problems. And all the problems that I had, they've just gone away because they didn't go away.
Right.
And you can't be deceptive. Sometimes people tell people because when you get saved, you know, that's going to be the end of it. You just give Christ your life and you're not going to have any more problems. But that's a lie. You will have more problems. There are some suffering will go with that. You know why? Because Christ said, even as he suffered in the flesh, to arm yourself likewise, because he suffered, we're going to suffer. We're going to go through some trials. We're going to go through some tribulation. So therefore, we have to arm ourselves, and we arm it with the Word of God. The Word of God say to put on the whole armor of God.
Yes.
The Word say put on the helmet of salvation.
Yes.
Say put on the breastplate of righteousness.
Yes.
It says shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So therefore, we have to arm out with the Word of God each and every day. And don't forget now, you need to start your day with prayer. Spend the most time on the difference Christ has made. What we're saying to you, spend a lot of time talking about
how Christ has made the difference in our lives. He has made the difference in our lives. How, even as an example, how Christ has made the difference in others' lives as well. Emphasize why you received Christ, the benefits of doing that. Tell why did you receive him into your life. And I'm going to ask Evangelist Williams to comment on this area and to maybe to tell us why, if you'd like to share, why did you receive Christ into your life.
You know, Dr. McCoy, I really thank God for these subjects because these are awesome gold nuggets that we need when we're out witnessing and when we're out on a mission to evangelize. So as you have asked the question, why did we receive Christ in our lives? And a lot of times we actually have to think about that before we even share it, because most of us were pushed into salvation to the point where our back was against the wall and we had tried everything else until somebody came along and said, try Jesus. The majority of us may have been placed in a situation where our back was up against a wall. And a lot of times when you have tried everything else, and you don't know whatever else to do, then God will actually send somebody alone to minister Jesus to you. They may not do it in a biblical way, but in a way with words of wisdom. Somebody might say, like for myself, for instance, when I was going through some situations, my friend who was very, very saturated in the things of God, she suggested to me to come go to church with her. Mm-hmm. She didn't preach and she didn't give, you know, she didn't condemn me, but she suggested, come go to church with me sometimes. And I took her up on that because my back was up against the wall. So when somebody said, why did you receive Christ in your life? I had no idea that was going to be my final destination. That was going to be the answer. That Jesus was the answer to everything that I was encountering.
All right. That's awesome. And we thank God for that, because she said that the person didn't preach to her, but they gave an invitation to come and to go with her to them to church. And it's so important for that great invitation that you can be able to, there are many ways that we'll be able to bring people to Christ.
Yes.
And I believe that God touched that person's heart to do it in that way.
Yes.
So that you can be able to hear the word of God.
Yes.
For the word of God says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Yes.
I believe that you heard the word of faith.
Yes.
And because you heard of the word of faith, it begins to build your faith.
Yes.
And you were able to make a commitment, and that you began to hear the word of God, and God made the difference in your life. So it's so many ways that we can get people to Jesus. There's so many ways that we can make the difference in others' lives, even as God has made the difference in our lives.
Yes.
One of the things we want to talk about, mention the benefits. We need to mention the benefits of being certain of your destiny when you die. So there are many things that we can tell others and to let them know the benefit of salvation. Let them know why it's important to be saved. You know, sometimes people think because of the fact that they get saved, they got to everything that they were doing in life. They can't laugh anymore. They don't have any more joy. They don't have any more peace. They can't listen to the television, or they can't listen to the radio or whatever. They can't go out and do anything. But let them know the benefits of being saved.
Yes.
And the benefits of being saved is that you're going to have eternal life, and that Christ is going to come into your life, and that Christ will save you, and God will give you a new attitude, which will cause you to have a better aptitude, and that God will make the difference in all our lives when he comes in,
yes.
That we don't have to be the same person that we were before. You know, if we were a person that lied, we was a person that was cheated, a person that stole, have a habit of stealing, don't have to be that person anymore. If we have a hypocrite, a cheater, a robber, you don't have to be that person anymore. If you was a person that was in administration, a CEO, a school teacher, or whatever you may be,
yes.
Because many times people, they're professional people, but they still need Christ in their lives.
Yes.
So the Bible says, with loving kindness,
yes.
With loving kindness have I drawn you. And that's what that is the way that God wants us to be able to draw people.
Yes.
Are you enjoying this today? About being, you're giving your testimony, so many things that we can do in order to make the difference, that Christ can make the difference in our life. Okay, we don't have to be negative. We don't have to give negative remarks about other religion. I do want you to write that down. You know, don't be negative about and talk about other people's religion. All you want to know is that you're telling them the truth. That comes from the Word of God. That is from the Holy Scripture. The Bible says that we shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free. We want to not to put other people's religions down. Sometimes you may not like certain religion, but we're not here to put other people down. We're here to lift up Jesus Christ.
Yes. Yes.
Let Jesus, he said, if I be lifted up, he'll draw all men unto him.
Yes.
So don't base your time in trying to persuade people why they shouldn't go to this religion or that religion, but what we want to talk to them about is why they should be saved,
yes.
Why they should have salvation,
yes.
Why they should know Christ, why should they want to be made anew and afresh,
yes.
In their lives. So these are some of the things that we want to really pay attention to tonight. Don't mention denomination. Love people love to say, sometimes have you heard people say, you may ask a question,
yes.
Are you saved? And they say, yes. They'll say, I am a member. I'm a certain denomination. That's what they'll say. They'll
yes.
Tell you what denomination they are. And they think that they're saved. But then you have to lead them, and you have to show them that that's not being saved. Some may say, you know, I was baptized when I was 12 years old. Do you know that I've been saved for 20 years? But yet in reality, they're still in the same old rut and the same doing the same thing. And in life, really, they may have been saved. They may have came to Christ, but yet they do not know the Word. They do not know Christ. So, therefore, they think just being baptized is going to save them, and when it's not. You know, when it's not. And some people think when they give their life to Christ, they can do, because I've given my life to Christ, I can do any and everything that I want to do just for the church on Sunday. And I'll be all right. Just for the church on Friday, and I'll be all right. Just for the church on Wednesday, and I'll be all right.
Yes.
You know, I can hang out at the club. You know, I can have fun time. I can hang out with the boys or the girls,
yes.
And they'll think that's okay. But yet, you got to let them know the reality and do it with loving kindness, because
yes.
I can't stress that enough, that we have to do things in love and kindness, because God didn't call any of us to beat anybody up. God didn't call anybody to put anybody in hell. God called us to be able to be a witness to
the kingdom and for him. If you are a salesperson and you are trying to sell something, you come to somebody's door and you come and you're going to be nice to that person. That's what the salesmen do. They'll call you Miss McCoy. They find, what's your name? I say, my name is Miss McCoy. My name is McCoy. And they will say, hi, Miss McCoy. I'm so-and-so. And I'm selling some encyclopedias today. And I want you you're not going to be disappointed if you let me just take a few words with you to tell you about these great encyclopedias that I have on today. You will, I promise you. Just give me 5 minutes, and I'll tell you that you will want to buy these. Well, they take any time with me. They're courteous. They're polite. And most likely, I'll take that time, and I will let them tell me about the encyclopedia. Now, I have a choice whether I want to buy them or not, but at least I listen to them for what they had to say. I listened to what they had. I was kind, and I listened to them. No, I don't let anybody and everything into my door, but at the same time, I am telling you that there is a way that God would give us wisdom in order to reach others for the kingdom of God. For the word of God says that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Those that are online, those that are listening to this broadcast on this evening, I want you to really remember of these things that we're giving you on today, and surely it will cause you to be a greater soul winner, a greater woman or man in mission and evangelism. Okay, we don't have to talk about, we said the denomination. And I know we all, especially those that are saved, been born again, love reading that Bible, you know, it just will come out any kind of, it'll come out. But don't quote too many scriptures. You know, sometimes we get rid of having the scriptures, and we'll start quoting a whole lot of scriptures. And sometimes these people, they don't even know, the scriptures. It's like I shared not too long ago that there was a time when someone had came and they was invited to the person that was teaching or the person that was preaching. They told the congregation, they told the people to turn to the book of Mark. Yes. Well, they thought that was just another person's name. They didn't know that that was one of the books in the New Testament. But, well, you know, we are, some people, they are amazed at why they didn't know, but we are dealing, and that's something, class, that you need to know, that we are dealing with an unchurched generation. We are dealing with people, you know, you may expect or you think that everybody know the 27 books in the New Testament and the 39 is in the Old Testament. They don't know that. They don't know, and a lot of people don't know. Do you not know that there are people that go to church every Sunday that they don't, sometimes they don't know some of the books in the Bible? They're coming, but they don't open their Bible. They don't follow the pastor. They don't go back home, and they don't read. So I'll put people down. Encourage them to read. One of the things it is, encourage them. Don't try to make people think that you're more than what you are or that you are missent and that you miss the scent and you can quote all of these scriptures and try to make them seem like, you know, like they don't know anything. I don't think God will help us to do that. So it's good to quote some scripture, those that are prevalent, those things that are going to touch somebody's heart, those things that are going to make the difference in some people's lives. But we don't have to try to make it as if that we know it all and they know absolutely nothing. And it has to be prevalent to what you're talking about so they can get some revelation, so they can get some understanding. And sometimes I like to touch on that as well because, and I know many of you already know this, if you're going out and you're going to be a witness for the kingdom, don't take your big, giant Bible with you. You know, sometimes people like to take these really Bibles with them when they're going out witnessing, but that really kind of frightens people sometimes. And sometimes if the enemy is in people,
they do not want to talk. That's their escape. They see the Bible, and they are ready to leave because, you know, I don't want to hear. And the enemy is telling them, you know, this person is coming, and they're going to want to talk to me about the Word of God, and I'm not up for that today, and I don't want to hear it, and I'm not down for whatever terminology that they use, that they're ready to do it. But the Bible said for us to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. So therefore, what we do is we get our New Testament Bible, the little small ones. If you got to have something with you, take a little small one with you and have it already marked. There's some things that you might want to share with them. Don't make it a long Bible study with them. You're out there to win their soul, not to teach Bible study. You know, you don't have to do that. So you don't have to do that. So therefore, what you need to do is to allow them to be comfortable in your presence.
Yes.
Allow them to know that I'm here because I'm concerned about your soul. You got to allow them so that they'll know the difference, that you're not trying to show me up, but I'm here because I love you. I'm here because God loves you. I'm here because God has made a difference in my life, and I want to make a difference in your life. So we got to be more smarter than the enemy. You understand what I'm saying? So we understand that we don't quote too many scriptures, and we're not trying to tell how much we know or prove how much we know. Also, don't answer questions they haven't asked. If they haven't asked you any questions, you don't have to be answering questions that they haven't asked. You know, who made the sun, the moon? We know who made that. You know, a lot of things that sometimes people come up with, and you may have heard somebody come up with some odd things. You may have heard somebody do that, but you don't have to bring it up to them. But in case they do bring it up to you, don't let them distract you from saying what God will have you to say. That's very important. Don't let them distract you. So that's very, very important. Now, okay, don't, as I said, don't answer questions they have not asked. Okay, give concrete type of example of the changes in your life. Don't say you don't have any changes now. If you say and your life has been changed and new, God has to make some change in our lives. You know, there's a song that says, you remember it? It says, I'm not the same anymore. Since Christ came into my life, I'm not the same. I'm not the same anymore. And I believe that everyone should have that testimony that they're not the same anymore. I don't lie no more. I don't steal no more. I don't hold money anymore. I'm not a fornicator anymore. I'm not a drunkard. I love God. My life has truly been changed. You can think of a whole so many other things that all of us have done in our life, but yet you don't have to, you need to let them know some change. You don't have to go way back there and go. Some things you need to just keep it yourself.
Yes.
You don't have to tell everything. Did you understand me? You don't have to tell everything that had happened in your life. It may be some crucial things that you have gone through, but don't share everything that you have done in your life. I don't think it's a wise thing to do. Honestly, you just need to share those things that's going to show a person that, yes, I know where you're coming from. I've been there. I've been out there, but God has made a change in my life.
Yes.
Be more persistent in what you the more specific you are, the more dynamic it will be. Did you understand that? The more specific you are, be specific in what you're saying, and the more specific you are, the more dynamic it will be. Avoid using dates, names, and ages. It doesn't matter to these people that you are witnessing to. It doesn't matter. But be prepared. Practice it until you feel and it sounds natural. And what we're saying tonight, what we're talking about tonight, for those that are just joining us, what we're saying to you tonight is that there
is a time that we have to prepare ourselves. And as saints of God, we have to prepare ourselves. And I do call you a saint because I don't care what denomination you may be a member of, you should be a saint of the Most High God. You should be saved. Your life should be changed. You should be born again. You should be free. You should be not in bondage anymore. You should have shackles on you. And so you have to be bold enough. If you do have shackles, you have to be bold enough that those shackles command them, that those shackles, that they be loose in the name of Jesus. If you're in bondage, you shouldn't really be in bondage because Christ have changed your life. You have power over the power of the enemy. I like what Paul said. Paul said that he said, I'm crucified in Galatians 2 and 20. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it is the Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So it's very important that that we know who we are, number one, because if we don't know who we are and how God has changed us on the inside, how are we going to change others as well? So therefore, we need to practice it. We got to get home and practice. A lot of things, we were going to school. We practiced things.
Yes.
We was in a spelling bee, or we had a test, or we had some words that we had to memorize. We practiced it. So therefore, what's wrong with us practicing our walk with Christ and practicing how to perfect, practicing these things, write them down, rehearse them. You know, that's what meditating on, meditative, repeating, thinking upon these things. Joshua says for us to meditate day and night. So it's time for us to meditate. It's time for us to do preparation work, preparing to go out into the harvest. There's many that's out in the harvest that need to come in. There's many that need that's out there that need to be refilled. There's many that's out there that need to be restored. Those many out there that we have to reach because God loves them, and it's not his desire that they be lost. It's not his desire that they do not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm almost finished on this area. You can also let a friend, after you have written down some things and you're preparing and you're trying to perfect what you're doing out there, because I'm telling you, you need to have the Holy Spirit to go with you. You need to allow God to lead, God, and direct you. And, you know, sometimes people try to make you feel that you can't do it. You could do all things through Christ that strengthens you, because the Word of God tells us, but we do need to prepare ourselves. We need to read the Word of God for ourselves. When the man of God and the woman of God, when they read the Word of God, you ought to be reading with them.
Yeah.
When they, sometimes there are ministers, they say, well, you don't need to open your Bible. You need to know what they're reading. If they have it up on the monitors, go ahead and read with them like that. But there have been a few times that I've heard someone say that you don't need to open your Bible. You got a Bible, you know, that's the word, and you need to confirm what they are saying. So therefore, you need to be able to open the Word of God. Speak casually and informally in a matter of fact, and also watch the tone in which you're speaking. Don't dramatize or embellish your story. Don't add to stuff that you know good and well didn't happen.
Yes.
Don't dramatize it, and don't add to make it sound good. You know, some people do things like that.
Yes.
Don't do that. That's not the will of God, and that's something that God will have us not to do. Don't share mystical, spooky experience. You went through a really spooky, spooky type thing. Don't be sharing that with people. And especially, I like to say this, because we almost finished with this area, this part of it. If things happen in your church, don't go and tell it to the unbeliever.
Yes.
If you tell these things to the unbeliever,
They will not want to go to your church because I wouldn't want to go to your church.
That's right.
Although it's no perfect church, but yet God is building all of us and strengthening all of us and making all of us better. But when there is things that you know that are happening, don't tell people that you're trying to convert. I want to tell you to come to my church, but, you know, it's just a mess in my church. Don't tell them. Don't say things like that.
Yeah.
You know, you can tell them. You can give them the word. If you know things are not going the way it should be in your church, you can tell them, you know, where do you live? I would like to tell you. I would like to invite you. I know this church. It's, as a matter of fact, it's not too long where you live, and I would like to invite you to go there. You know, I want to, and because that is right too, because you know that you're sending it somewhere that they're gonna grow, that they're gonna be strengthened,
yeah.
That they'll be able to stand, that they're not gonna come in there and leave out in a short length of time because they found that hey, something wrong here. I don't see any love here. I don't see any joy here. I see people bickering and fighting. You want people to see the love of God. So that's something that we need to do. Okay, don't talk down to people. Don't sound preachy to them neither. I've heard people say, you know, don't be so preachy. You know, don't be so preachy. People want you to talk to them like you have a regular conversation per se. I know the anointing of God built upon us because sometimes I find with even myself, you know, I have to watch it. Because of what I'm saying, I'm talking to someone that, and I know it's the anointing. It's not that I'm trying to preach them a sermon, but I can understand. That's why I can share as well of what I'm saying. It's not that I'm trying to preach them a sermon. But I want them to get what I'm saying to them. But we can talk in a way because some things that we say will frighten people. If you have to be very careful what you say and be led by the Holy Spirit, and this came in my heart that I like to share as well. When you out on the street, be careful how you touch people and how you embrace them. But some people are not used to that.
Yeah.
You know, there are people that they want you to embrace them. They want you to shake their hand. And if you put your hand out, they don't shake it, don't get offended. Or they may be crying or whatever. And you should ask, is it okay if I hug you? Don't just hug them.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you some things that's coming up in my spirit. We're almost finished with this part. And use I, me, and not you. Put yourself instead of that person.
Yeah.
Talk about you in a way that you're not talking about them. Because that offends people, but they think you're talking about them. Because it offends you if you're saying something and somebody seems like they may be pointed directly to you. Use a little human, you know. Relax. It's not all about that. It's all about the word. And when you use a little human, it reduces the tension and relax some people. And it'll make them smile. So we need to learn how to smile. Learn how to smile. And I'll try to use a theme as well. Now, what we're going to do the remainder of this class tonight, and look, we're almost there on tonight, and we want to talk about personal evangelism. And the part we're going to talk about is being willing to go. Being willing. Was it a difficult thing, Evangelist William, when you began to evangelize, when you began to go out let's say when you first got saved? I know that you're evangelist now, but how was that? Were you willing to go? Was it you having a hang up or you felt pressured, or how did you feel about that?
Actually, Dr. McCoy, when, as far as my personal experience, when God saved me and God delivered me, I found myself very zealous. I was full of zeal. And when I studied that years later in the Bible, that the people of God are full of zeal but not according to knowledge, I saw myself. Because when you are zealous and you are excited about something, I was so excited about my salvation and my deliverance until I just wanted to tell everybody. So I didn't have a hesitant spirit. I did not hesitate to tell everybody I could tell. Oh, let me tell you what God did for me. And I did that, as you brought up tonight, not according to knowledge. Because a lot of things you shared with us, as we did the suggestion for testimony with preparation, a lot of these things all of us have done one time or the other. Mm-hmm. We have talked too long and too much, and a lot of times we didn't fight on our goal. Sometimes it's so much about me, until we didn't fight on what we're actually doing. We forget that we are witnessing or ministering to somebody. And a lot of times when we testify, we don't keep our little testimony at a minimum of 3 minutes. Sometimes we sit there for 30 minutes, an hour, and sometimes people are so polite they don't want to cut you off. But it's important that we keep our testimony at 3 minutes. And so you brought out very, very important point about sharing a portion of your life story, keeping it at a minimum, and not to be deceptive and, you know, going overboard, because that's so easy to do. But one of the most important things you brought out tonight is we got to emphasize on Jesus Christ. We cannot leave that out. We got to remember. In other words, that goes right back to not losing sight on our purpose, sharing our testimony and telling people about the benefits of salvation. And it was just so many, you said so many wonderful things tonight, but in my conclusion, when I first got saved, I was so full of zeal until I just started running without the knowledge. So it's easy to do, it's easy to go out of it, but when you take time to learn that, you know, long story short, before Jesus sent his disciples forth, he equipped them and he told them, you know, what to do, the do's and the don'ts, what to do, what not to do, what to take, what not to take. So it's important that we receive knowledge before we go forth.
Very, very good. It is so important. I believe that what Evangelist William had to say on tonight concerning that was very prevalent and important to many of us, so that we will, it's good to be on fire for God, and especially when we've gotten saved,
yes.
But yet we need to take time, and we need to study the Word, and it's nothing wrong with you, even if you got saved, to tell somebody, let them know that, hey, I just got saved. I just received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And if you want to be saved, somebody told me how to be saved, and I want to share with you. But it goes even further. That is what everything that we said on tonight, that we can perfect ourselves and cause others to appreciate and cause the Word of God to be even more real within us. Because the Word of God says to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman of God, need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. So let's talk about be willing to go. And we're going to use Matthew 28:18 through the 20th verse. And that reads, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Listen what he said. This is for you. This is for me. This is for the believer. Those of you who just got saved. He's and have invited Jesus into their life and began to know his purpose and his word. The word of God said in that 19th verse, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So in order to be able to teach,
yes,
you got to be able to study.
Yes.
So he said to teach them to observe all things. So how are you going to observe all of these things unless you are studying and if you're listening,
yes,
you have purpose in your heart, that you're going to allow God to speak and to show you these things in the word of God, so that your eyes of illumination,
yes,
will be open so that you can understand. I've heard people say, you know, when I read it before I got saved and I tried to read it where it looks like it read like Greek, I didn't understand it. But when Christ comes in, he'll open up the eyes of that you'll be not only just the natural, your spiritual eyes, so that you'll be able to have that knowledge and that wisdom of God's word. So it is very important that we obey and that we hear the word of the Lord. So in the 28th chapter, the 18th to the 20th verse. Now, the question is, why should you go? And the reason is, you will find that in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the 17th through the 20th verse. And it reads, and this will be our last scripture for tonight because our class period is about over. In 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through the 20th verse, it reads, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To say that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their transgressions to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation.
Yes.
The last verse is verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Beseech is when you beg, and I beg you to be reconciled to God. We thank you, Jehovah Jireh International Institution, the class, for tuning in to our class online, and we are broadcasting live. And for the students here at this college that is located at the Edward Waters College here in the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. Again, the address here, in case you want to drop in and study with us, it is free, and we want you to come and join us on this campus every Monday, except for holidays, on the campus with us. Or you can tune in, you can call in at 805-243-1363. That number again is 805-243-1363. And the address is 1401 Grandthal Street. It's located in the Center for the Prevention of Health Disparities on the campus of Atwaters College here in the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. We would like to thank you once again for tuning in. May God richly bless you. May his face shine upon you. May he bless you in your going in and in your coming out. This has been Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. May God bless you. And we are listening to or seeing you, looking forward to seeing you on our next class. Don't forget to tune in. Tell somebody, tell about 5 or 6 people about the class online and how they can call in and how they can listen to it while they're eating dinner, while they're home relaxing or with the family or whatever manner. Tell your church. Tell them how they can listen to about mission and evangelism at Jehovah Jireh. At Jehovah Jireh Institution. May God bless and keep you, and may his face shine upon you. May he bless you in your going in and in your coming out. Again, that number to tell them is 805-243-1363.